April is National Poetry Month, so every Sunday during April, we're going to bring you poems related to war. Some may seem to romanticize armed conflict. Others may appear to illuminate the horrors of combat. To inaugurate our series, we present two ancient works. In the 24th century BC, the Sumerian priestess Enheduanna wrote of the sorrows of her time, of wars in her homeland, within the Fertile Crescent of Mesopotamia, where Iraq now stands. Enheduanna's Lament to the Spirit of War is read by Daniela Giuseppe and included in Giuseppe's new anthology, Women on War.
Lament to the Spirit of War. You hack everything down in battle, God of War. With your fierce wings you slice away the land and charge, disguised as a raging storm, growl as a roaring hurricane, yell like a tempest yells, thunder, rage, roar, and drum, expel evil winds. Your feet are filled with anxiety. On your lyre of moans, I hear your loud dirge scream. Like a fiery monster, you fill the land with poison. As thunder, you growl over the earth. Trees and bushes collapse before you. You are blood rushing down a mountain, spirit of hate, greed, and anger, dominator of heaven and earth. Your fire wafts over our land, riding on a beast with indomitable commands. You decide all fate. You triumph over all our rights. Who can explain why you go on so?
The Sumerian Priestess and Enheduanna's poem, Lament to the Spirit of War, read by Daniela Giuseppe. 1500 years after Enheduanna, in the 9th century B.C., Homer wrote his epic poem, The Iliad. Robert Fagles is Professor Emeritus of Comparative Literature at Princeton University and a translator of ancient Greek literature. In this passage, Professor Fagles reads from the climax of the Iliad. The Greek hero, Achilles, has just killed the Trojan warrior, Hector. When Hector's wife, Andromache, learns of his death, she expresses her grief with a great lament. Her husband is now dead, and their son, Astyanax, has lost his father.
So Andromache cried, dashing out of the royal halls like a madwoman, her heart racing hard, her women close behind her. But once she reached the tower where soldiers massed, she stopped on the rampart, looked down, and saw it all. Saw him dragged before the city, stallions galloping, dragging Hector back to Achaea's beaked warships. Ruthless work. The world went black as night before her eyes. She fainted, falling backward, gasping away her life breath. She flung to the winds her glittering headdress, the cap and the coronet, braided band and veil, all the regalia golden Aphrodite gave her once, the day that Hector, helmet aflash in sunlight, led her home to Troy from her father's house, with countless wedding gifts to win her heart. But crowding round her now, her husband's sisters and brothers' wives supported her in their midst, and she, terrified, stunned to the point of death, struggling for breath now, and coming back to life, burst out in grief among the Trojan women. Oh, Hector, I am destroyed. Both born to the same fate after all. You at Troy in the halls of King Priam. I at Thebes, under the timberline of Placos, Eetion's house. He raised me as a child, that man of doom. His daughter just as doomed. Would to God he'd never fathered me. Now you go down to the house of death, the dark depths of the earth, and leave me here to waste away in grief, a widow lost in the royal halls, and the boy only a baby, the son we bore together, you and I so doomed. Hector, what help are you to him now you are dead? What help is he to you? Think, even if he escapes the wrenching horrors of war against the Argives, pain and labor will plague him all his days to come. Strangers will mark his lands off, stealing his estates. The day that orphans a youngster cuts him off from friends, and he hangs his head low, humiliated in every way, his cheeks stained with tears. And pressed by hunger, the boy goes up to his father's old companions, tugging at one man's cloak, another's tunic. And some will pity him, true, and one will give him a little cup to drink, enough to wet his lips, not quench his thirst. But then some bully, with both his parents living, beats him from the banquet, fists and abuses flying. You, get out! You've got no father feasting with us here. And the boy, sobbing, trails home to his widowed mother, Astyanax. And years ago, propped on his father's knee, he would only eat the marrow, the richest cuts of lamb. And when sleep came on him and he had quit his play, cradled warm in his nurse's arms, he drowsed off, snug in a soft bed, his heart brimmed with joy. Now what suffering! Now he's lost his father, Astyanax. Because it was you, Hector, you and you alone who shielded the gates and the long walls of Troy. But now by the beak ships, far from your parents, glistening worms will wriggle through your flesh. Once the dogs have had their fill of your naked corpse, though we have such stores of clothing laid up in the halls, fine things, a joy to the eye, the work of women's hands. Now, by God, I'll burn them all, blazing to the skies. No use to you now, they'll never shroud your body. But they will be your glory, burned by the Trojan men and women in your honor. Her voice rang out in tears, and the women wailed in answer.
Princeton Professor Emeritus of Comparative Literature Robert Fagles, reading from Homer's The Iliad. Professor Fagles' translation of The Iliad is published by Penguin Books.